When Robert Moore graduated from college, he decided to take 6 months off to fulfill a dream. He sublet his apartment, sold everything he owned, said goodbye to his friends, and set off to hike the full length of the Appalachian Trail, 2,000 miles from Georgia to Maine. It took him 5 months, during which time it rained nearly every day. So instead of sweeping mountain vistas, he got mud, not what he had signed up for.
You know, we think of hiking as an aesthetic experience, and we often think of it in terms of vistas and landscapes. And so when you don't have it, it feels odd. You think, what's the point? Why am I walking if I can't see a view?
So maybe because he spent a lot of time looking down at the trail, Robert started thinking about paths in general. Since then, he's traveled all over the world exploring animal, insect, and fossil trails, ancient roads, neural networks, the tracks of stars. His new book is called On Trails, An Exploration, and it begins with the question most hikers have wondered at some point, who built this thing?
The moment you really start thinking about it is when the trail goes wrong. It's when something a little bit illogical would happen, that you would get intensely frustrated and you would think, who built this? And
what
why?
Do you mean?
Why did they put this here? A hiking trail is designed to be sustainable. So it has to shed water in certain ways. It has to avoid certain places. So it will sometimes go a place where you as a hiker don't want to go, but the trail builder needs you to go there. And, you know, hikers get very, very frustrated by this because hikers, especially through hikers, want to get where they want to go as quickly as possible. They want to follow the path of least resistance. And so that's one of the interesting things about the task of building hiking trails is that you have to convince people to go where they don't necessarily want to go. And oftentimes hikers won't do it. They'll take a shortcut and they'll create what are called desire lines, which cut across the trail.
I love that term, desire lines. That was the point when you first brought it up in the book where I thought, oh, that's such a beautiful metaphor. It made me wonder, you know, like, what's the desire line in my life? And am I following it?
Yeah, it's true. It has a really strong metaphorical resonance for people because, you know, we are born into the world, I think, with various paths laid out for us. And one of the questions is, it's really the deep question of wisdom, is do you follow these paths that are laid out for you or do you start making your own path? And the one of the things I love about the metaphor of the trail is that it is so applicable because most people have walked on trails. Everybody has walked on some kind of trail, whether it's in an urban environment or in the woods. So you know instinctively it's much easier to walk on a trail, right? It's much harder to strike off into the weeds and the brambles. And so that is something that I thought about constantly while I was hiking the Appalachian Trail, is by following this path that was laid out for me, am I missing something? Or is this actually the best path from Georgia to Maine?
Well, that's interesting because in our culture, I think we tend to glorify the trail blazers rather than the trail followers. As you explored the metaphor, did you come to think differently?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a very American way of thinking, right? And if you go back and you read, for example, Thoreau is appalled by the idea of following a trail. He believes everyone should be a trailblazer in life. And of course, Emerson writing about self-reliance, there's a long tradition in America of believing that following a trail is kind of shameful. It's kind of cowardly. But actually, when you look into it, following a trail is also a very original act because every person who follows the trail edits the trail a little bit as they're following it. That's what I find so beautiful about them. It's such a beautiful idea that we are, as a collective body, we are creating this thing together, which takes us all where we need to go.
You did so much research, you know, exploring so many different kinds of trails, and there are things that I love knowing, having read the book. For instance, the oldest trails in the world are 565 million years old. They were created by, some of the earliest animals? They're fossilized now.
That's right. Ediacara, yeah.
Ediacara. And they're in Newfoundland? They were discovered only recently, right?
Yeah, so they were discovered by an Oxford researcher named Alex Liu, who was just wandering along the seashore there in a place called Mistaken Point. He was looking for Ediacara biota fossils, which are, as far as we know, the earliest form of animal life. They're Precambrian animals, so they don't look like anything that you would ever even imagine as an animal. They don't even look like trilobites. They look, to my eye, like underwater plants. But, of course, plants had not even evolved at that point. This is how far back we're going. And so Alex Liu found these little traces, and he realized that what he had was the oldest trail on Earth. He'd found the oldest record of an animal intentionally moving, and it was just sort of scrunching along. You can see how painstaking and difficult it was when you see these fossils, as I have, just inch by inch moving through the sand. And that little movement in some ways led to the incredible diverse array of movement you see on Earth now.
What are the most complex trails you uncovered?
Probably ant trails. Because they're made of pheromones, they're not impressed into the earth. They evaporate very quickly, which means that they can change very quickly. And what that allows ants to do is to create these networks of incredible efficiency. So they can solve problems that we even have trouble solving. And people will actually study ants to learn how to better route packages through a shipping network or how to better route information through the internet.
Really?
It's true. It's amazing because they're very simple animals, and yet collectively they're incredibly smart. And in a certain sense, that collective intelligence resides in their trails. It's the very structure and makeup of their trails that makes them so smart.
What's so amazing about their trails?
Well, for example, fire ants, which E.O. Wilson has famously studied, they can tell each other not just where food is, but how much food is there by the strength of their trail. And then as the food begins to diminish, the trail will begin to dissipate as well. So you have this ever-updating map of where all the food is, and it's mesmerizing because you think, how could they have, with no central coordination, they're managing to do all of this. It's incredible.
You also remind me, you mentioned E.O. Wilson. There was some anecdote you wrote about that he used to, almost as an entomologist party trick, he used to write his name in ants.
That's right, yeah. He isolated the trail pheromone, and he would write his name on the ground or on a piece of paper, and the ants would line up and spell out his name, and it would just amaze his visitors. Yeah.
Things entomologists do for fun. There's another like little factoid you mentioned that just fascinates me. Elephants turn out to be amazing virtuoso trail makers.
Yeah, incredible. Probably unparalleled because of their size and their intelligence and the incredible power of their sensory organs. They will find paths that we end up building into our roads and our highways. I remember hiking in Tanzania years ago and following elephant trails and just marveling at them, thinking, how do they always find the shallowest crossing across a river? How do they always find the lowest pass through the mountains? You imagine them almost having a kind of telepathy or a God's eye view of the landscape.
They also seem to sort of have evolved to walk trails. Their feet are incredibly light.
They're incredibly soft, they're incredibly cushioned, and they're very sensitive. They're incredibly sensitive to the point that their feet are almost like stethoscopes. They can actually feel vibrations through the ground and sense rainstorms many, many miles away. There's a little anecdote which describes a group of three rangers who were sleeping, had accidentally laid down a tarp in the middle of an elephant trail and woke up in the morning and realized that there was an elephant footprint in between where they were lying down. An elephant had actually walked right over them, and they hadn't even known it because that's how quiet they are.
Wow. Have you ever been in a pathless wilderness, tried hiking without a trail?
I have, yeah. I've quite a few times I found myself for certain stretches, but by far the most memorable was in Newfoundland, a place called the North Rim Traverse around Western Brook Pond, which is designated as a pathless wilderness. They will never build a trail there. And you actually have to pass a navigation test before you can go in. It's a little bit daunting. You have to pass this map and compass test, and then they give you a little tracking device, which will locate your hopefully still living body if you stop moving. And I went there by myself. I had no cell phone. I had no GPS, just a map and compass. I really wanted to test myself. And it was, to be honest, it was kind of horrifying. I felt very, very uneasy from the first moment I started out because I realized how accustomed I had become to following a trail. And there were these trees called tuckamore, which are elfinwood trees. They're very short and very sturdy. They can be 100 years old and only reach as high as your waist because the wind has stunted their growth. And so you had to fight your way through these trees. And for 3 days, I just fought and fought my way across this landscape. I got completely lost. I was miles off track. And then on the last day, I found my way back to the trail. There was a big cairn, a big stone cairn marking where the trail was. And I felt this flood of relief just to be back on a trail. And that was, I think, when I really realized the value of a trail.
Robert Moore talking about his new book called On Trails, An Exploration.